Section 3. You will hear a discussion between two students of criminology and their lecturer. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
That was a really fascinating lecture.
If a bit gruesome.
Well, the Ratcliffe murders of 1811 certainly had a significant impact on English society at the time. It wasn't just the fact that innocent parties were involved or that two households were brutally murdered that provoked public outrage and hysteria. The murderer, or murderers, since there may, as you know, have been an accomplice, invaded the sanctity of their victims' homes to commit truly horrendous crimes.
An Englishman's home is his castle, right? So I guess no one felt truly safe in the comfort of their own home after that.
Exactly. That's also why burglaries, too, have such a profound effect on their victims. It's often not the loss of valuables or possessions or even the inconvenience that upsets a victim most, but the fact that their conviction of being safe in their own home has been severely compromised.
But public hysteria broke out too, didn't it? Because there was a feeling that public safety was under threat. It was felt that the localised police forces at the time were inadequate.
Very true. The police force at the time had limited power. They could enforce the rulings of a local magistrate for the county, but they had one huge disadvantage.
There was no communication between county police forces, was there?
Yes. Details of crimes committed within a county were not shared. Obviously, when a criminal crossed county borders, they could often successfully evade capture.
Today, that seems so absurd.
Nowadays, with information instantly accessible to all police forces nationally and worldwide on police computer systems, yes, it does. But don't forget that it was only with the formation of London's Metropolitan Police Force in 1829 by Sir Robert Peel that criminal records could begin to be consolidated on a national basis. Even then, some areas outside and even within the Metropolitan Police District remained beyond the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Police Force.
Were the Ratcliffe murders a bit of a wake-up call then to the crime-fighting forces of the time?
More than that, they acted as a catalyst in the formation of the Metropolitan Police. The public, too, played no small part in bringing about the much-needed shake-up in the policing systems of the era.
So the Metropolitan Force was founded over half a century before the infamous Jack the Ripper murders.
Yes. However, in spite of the force's best efforts, the Ripper remained at large. Many suspects were put forward, though, ranging from children's author Lewis Carroll through to artist Walter Sickert. Despite the notable failure to deliver justice on this occasion, the Metropolitan Police Force could not be blamed for any inadequacies in police procedure. In fact, the creation of the Metropolitan Police Force was a turning point in English law-keeping.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
So once the public got what they wanted, an organised police force, were they happy?
One would imagine that that would have been the case. However, the public in fact showed a resentment towards the new law enforcers.
Really?
Yes, so much so that the public gave them derogatory names like Peelers and Bobbies. Nicknames derived from the name of the Metropolitan Force's founder, Sir Robert Peel.
I guess not many people would have wanted to work for the Metropolitan Police then.
Well, At least it was full-time paid work. In fact, policing only first became a permanent full-time profession with the advent of Henry Fielding. He formed a force armed with pistols, known as the Bow Street Runners, in 1749, answerable to and paid by a magistrate's office. Prior to that, policing had relied on unpaid night watchmen and constables working for a particular parish. Male householders were chosen for the jobs of watchman or constable, working by rotation or appointment. Armed with no more than a cane, the watchmen were a poor match for the criminals of the day, as were the constables, who were similarly ill-equipped. Those appointed as watchmen or constables, not surprisingly, lacked enthusiasm for their task, which had to be combined with their normal daytime employment.
So, did the Metropolitan Police Force operate a tough selection process for employing officers?
There were the same conditions for a certain height and fitness level as in contemporary police forces. But when new recruits entered the force, they had to work their way up from the bottom. No concessions were made for class or background. This still holds true today.
That's the end of section three. You have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4.